All right. Welcome in to Toilets to Titles. This is episode number 107. We are in between conference championship weekend and the Super Bowl. So things are getting real rare here in the NFL, and even more so with the Brian Flores news and Tom Brady and Adam Schefter and all this craziness going on in the NFL world. But you know what? We are steadily grounded this week because we have the Senior Bowl to keep us all on track and focused on the things that matter. And the things that matter is the NFL draft. That is how our teams get better, whether you're an NFL fan, a dynasty fantasy football player, or a regular fantasy football player, whatever, Devy, college fantasy football, the NFL draft. This is the season of optimism, and we are bringing on guests this evening who are gurus. Okay, you all know Shane. Shane Hallam is here, and his co-host, all right, from the Devy Marketplace, Kane. It is his first time on the show. We are grateful to have both of you on to guide us through this this journey into the offseason with the draft and with the Senior Bowl week. So, Shane and Kane, how are you guys doing this evening?
I'm good. I'm you know, twice in 1 week with Kane is going to be a good time. And Kane definitely has hands big enough to grip a football, so we're in good shape.
What size? Give me dimensions. I need them.
Bigger than Kenny Pickett's unmeasured hands.
Double jointed thumb.
Yeah, he's really reaching. You know, he's really reaching there. I'm double jointed. They're going to take a bad measurement. Figure it out, Kenny Pickett. All right, so we already got hand jokes. So you know that it really is. If you didn't think it was draft season before with the hand size jokes, you know it is fully draft season. And in the background this evening, Justin Stevens at Justin FF underscore next to me, the Dirt Man Nate at Nate underscore Dirt 19. I am on Twitter at Coach Sheps, and Shane is at Shane B. Hallam, and Kane is at Devy underscore Kane. Again, they're the hosts of the Devy Marketplace podcast. And I know Justin has, they have a Discord chat that is hopping, that is ultimately, it is very hard to keep track of because this thing is like a nightclub. I go in there. I don't know what happened the past 2 hours, but it seems like everybody's having a good time and I want to join in. So that is what their Discord chat is like. So you need to get in there. And I know Shane is a managing partner at the Draft Countdown. So I'd like to ask you guys before we move any further, how did you guys get linked up? Like, did you guys just meet and you were like, you know what? We both love draft stuff. Let's unite our draft love and create a podcast. Like how did the Devy Marketplace grow?
Well, the Devy Marketplace actually started with Caleb Pearson and I, and Caleb, you know, after I think just about a year, he was working to take over some of his family business. And he was like, unfortunately, I got a dip. And we had had Shane on, I think probably two or three times in that year or something like that. And so I was trying to rack my brain, like, what could the Devy Marketplace look like, you know, without Caleb? And I was kind of thinking that it'd be really, really great if we had someone that their specialty is the NFL draft. I'm not necessarily a draft guy like Shane is, right? I don't know anyone who plays defense unless they played for the Gophers, right? That's the only way I know who a defensive player is, or an offensive lineman named Daniel Fa'alele at the Senior Bowl, which is the largest man that I've ever seen. But that's for another conversation. But then it got to the point where, like, this would be a really good match. So I reached out to Shane and he goes, let me think about it for a little bit. And then he said, yeah, let's like do a trial run. And we're over a year into it.
I think we beat the original run. I think we have two, as we've established on one Secret Shopper podcast, we have two very, very different personalities. We had a podcast where each took a personality test and you know, went that route. So it's been fun, but we work well with each other, and it gives it we definitely have a different vibe. Kane brings the nonsense, and we really dive into values. That's what we do, about valuing players, selling high, buying low, and how to, you know, make your dynasty teams, Devy teams, the best they can be, you know, value wise.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because Shane is, I'll ask Shane, I was like, is this person someone we need to care about, right, for the NFL draft? We can watch as much college football as you want, but when you have someone like Shane who's a really accurate NFL draft guy, and so if I say, like, Shane, is this someone we need, like, is this, right, day one, day two guy? That's, especially at running back, that's really all we care about. because the hit rates are just so good. So it's like, is this something that we care about, this guy? And he goes, no, like he's going to be a late day three guy. So it's like, sweet. Then we can just cross him off our list. He's now a sell, because if he's not going in the first or second round of the NFL draft, get rid of him. And then, so it just helps that we have that aspect as well. And you guys know, some of you guys are in the Discord. The Discord is great because you also have Nelly, who is just a numbers nerd. Like, he is our numbers nerd. And so he does all the analytics for us, does some analytic podcasts on the channel as well. About every quarter, every few weeks, he puts one out. So it's just pretty great. Make sure you join that Discord, because this is one of the few things that's actually 100% free. Like, the Discord is free to join. So make sure you do that. It's an absolute blast. We have over 200 people. We started this at the beginning of January.
Man.
About 270, 280 people in it right now. And it's always popping. And there's mock drafts, there's rookie drafts, there's Devi drafts, there's everything. Or, if you're looking for Dungeons and Dragons advice.
Yes, I was going to say that. Saturday night, we've been working on something for the past, I want to say, month, where we are going to be doing, T2T is doing D&D Saturday night, 8 p.m. And we wanted to do it. We picked the week in between the conference championship weekend and the Super Bowl. But how this started, I think I was just in your Discord chat and I was like, hey, guys. So really how this started, if we want to go further back, I was watching while I was working. I do a lot of office work. You know, I run a heating and air conditioning company. I do billing, estimating, you know, all that stuff. So I spend a lot of time in front of a computer. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and surprisingly so, it's mostly Disney and Universal Studios themed podcasts. But I was also watching, I got like a link to watch a YouTube video of Jack Black and a few other actors and actresses doing like a Dungeons and Dragons thing. And it was so funny, but it looked like so much fun. And I was like, you know what? Let's give this a shot. So then I reached out to my guys at Toilets of Titles and see if they were interested. And they seemed interested. And then I saw this Discord chat with so many people in it. And I was like, maybe there's someone who can guide me in a direction. I put it out there. And then everyone immediately was like, Zach, reach out to Zach. And then Zach, man, he has been so gracious. We created a group chat. He's guided us through the process. He's built this world for us. Or I don't know necessarily if he built a world, but he's got a story ready for us. And we're about to dive into it. So the Discord chat, it really, whatever you're looking for, you can find it.
Like, it's wild. You can find people that want to play Call of Duty Warzone, like, right now. Right? Like, if I were to go into the gaming chat and say, hey, I'm hopping onto Warzone right now. Anyone want to play? You'll get a couple people. You'll like instantly get a party going to play Warzone. Like, yes. That's just how it is. And there's trade questions constantly. There's mock drafts. There's my favorite channel is probably the self-promotion channel, because we're just trying to build a community, right? One that supports everyone. So a lot of people just drop in there and they're like, this is what I'm working on, right? This is what Brian did at the draft countdown, right? This is what Felix is doing over at C2C. Like, all of those is just a sharing opportunity to build the community. And that's really what we wanted. And that's why we opened up this Discord to everyone.
Man, that's awesome. And speaking of self-promotion, I make sure to throw a few of our things in there occasionally. Yeah. We're doing Super Bowl boxes. They are $25 a square. Check me out on the Twitter at Coach Sheps or at Toilets Titles. You'll see what boxes are available. DM us there and I'll let you know what squares are available if you want them. I think of the 100, there's about 60 left. We started it 2 days ago. So get in there, get a chance to win some money. And also please check out toiletstotitles.com. So now I do briefly want to touch on conference championship weekend. I know that, you know, we're going to talk about Senior Bowl, but you know, we did have some games played this weekend. So Joe Burrow and the Bengals, Ja'Marr Chase, man, I remember I was against the Ja'Marr Chase pick. I thought Penei Sewell, you know, maybe I'm a basic B word. Cause I wanted Penei Sewell to go to Cincinnati. They get Ja'Marr Chase. And they are coasting into the Super Bowl. And most of the guys from the show, we did predict Bengals-Rams last week. So I think a lot of us were on to that. But what are you guys' thoughts on the Bengals beating the Chiefs?
I was a little bit surprised. I mean, especially when the Chiefs got up 21-3, it felt like daggers to the Bengals, right? The Chiefs could kind of ride this out, but just like last time they played that second half, Bengals defense stepped up, and you know, Patrick Mahomes has those times where he just tries to do too much. We saw that early in the season. I thought that's what was happening again. He was trying to win the game when he needed just to pick up yardage. And Joe Burrow, you know, the ice cold, he was getting hit, making it happen. Like, I still don't think the Bengals are super talented all around. They have the great players, but this just
Logan
feels
Wilson,
like,
man. Logan Wilson, he's stepping up.
Yeah. But they just feel like a team that is playing really in sync, and that's football for you.
Yeah, Sam Hubbard, they're hungry. They are hungry. What do you guys think about the other game over in the NFC with the Rams beating the Niners? I think everyone kind of expected the Rams to beat the Niners, but it was very close. It was a game the Niners could have easily won there.
I don't think enough credit is given to the 49ers defense all season. Whew. Like, to be completely honest with you, like, the 49ers defense, probably one of the, you could probably say the best defense in all of football this year, right? And we've seen it in the playoffs. They're able to shut down zone running. They're able to shut down power run schemes. They also have terrific defensive backs. They have great pass rush. Like, this is a great defense. And the Rams are good too, but the 49ers, terrific defense. And that's why the game was so close.
49ers, and the fact that they have a run.
Yeah, that, and they have Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, so it made more sense why they lost. But that's the other part of it. But no, Rams, very good football team. Still inefficient on the ground, which, you know, Zach Moss is recovering from an Achilles injury, and Sony Michel is not good. So, like, it makes sense why they're inefficient. Yeah. But they're still a really good football team. And I think this is probably going to be one of the better defenses that the Bengals have faced in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Aaron Donald against that interior. I mean, that's going to be.
And Von Miller.
Yeah, I feel like
Joe Burrow might. He's going to be hurting, I think. That their offensive line. Like I said, I don't know how he got away from, you know, I know Kansas City's pass rush isn't anything like, you know, like the Rams is, but I mean, he seemed like he was pretty fortunate. I know Melvin Ingram got at least one sack, I know, but I think that offensive line of the Bengals is going to struggle mightily against the Rams.
Man, I can tell you two things. One thing is the Rams will not be listening to any podcast like this because they have zero draft picks and they have zero interest in any of the big name players we're going to be talking about, but maybe the deep dives they'll be interested in. And the second thing is, I'm pretty disappointed in Joe Mixon. You know, I'm starting to question his vision. You know, he's getting some big lanes, some cutback lanes, and I'd expect him to take advantage of those. You know, now that team has got a phenomenal early aerial attack, I'm starting to question, you know, Joe Mixon's value. I'm thinking he's producing very on a limited basis from what I've expected over the last few weeks. What do you guys think about Joe Mixon?
Go for it, Kane.
Don't blame him, right? So who I blame on first down is Zach Taylor, who repeatedly runs the ball in the interior of the offensive line over and over and over and over again. And you wonder why it's inefficient, right? But also at the same point, you can say, well, why didn't he, you know, why didn't Joe Mixon try to bust those things outside? And that's a fair point. But the purpose was to not turn the ball over. Right, to not get fancy, to not do anything and lose more yards, right? So the first down was just safe, unfortunately, and that's not really what you can have over and over again. And that's the reason why they almost lost that game, is because it was like Bill Musgrave became their offensive coordinator on first down, and they just ran it into the walls of the offensive linemen over and over and over again, and they were surprised that they averaged like 1.8 yards a carry on first down.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I'm with you on that. But it wasn't just last week. Like, over the last two or three weeks, I just feel like there were some opportunities there for him to cut it outside. And it seems like the vision has been a little limited, but we will see how he continues to grow with this offense going on. But now I think we're ready to move on to the Senior Bowl. I know we got into some hand size discussion briefly early on in the show. Let's discuss the ghosts of Senior Bowl past, some players who rose or some players who fell, you know, due to their production at the Senior Bowl, or rather lack of production. Do you guys have any names that come to, you know, come to the forefront of your mind when you think of Senior Bowl?
Look, I think we've definitely had quarterbacks that have shown up and helped themselves. You know, I remember when I was down in Mobile, Colin Kaepernick was the talk of the town with his practices. There was some split of, you know, kind of, you know, how good he was, and he was having a heck of a week. So that pushed him up into the early second round. I mean, Philip Rivers, that's what made him become a high end first round pick, essentially. You know, first overall, ended
and
up
you're
there
old
with that trade. Yeah. So I am old, you know, but look, those are guys, you know, those are guys that help me sell. I mean, Justin Herbert's another one where that's what got him back into the conversation as well. So, you know, I the quarterbacks obviously always stand out, but those are definitely guys that I think help their draft stock. And honestly, the Senior Bowl is usually about 90-10, like 90% of guys I think help themselves, 10% hurt themselves. It's usually a good bet.
How about you, Kane? You got any names that come to mind?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest one is Carson Wentz, right? Coming from an FCS program, right? Like becoming this, what was he, second overall pick? Mm-hmm. Yeah, second overall pick, right? Yeah, so there's that. Probably the biggest defensive player riser that we've seen over the past 5 years is probably Javon Kinlaw, who's a defensive lineman out of South Carolina, right?
Right. Look at you, like, talking defense over there.
Hey,
I like
it. I have it pulled up on my other monitor.
Give me more.
So, like, he is probably the biggest riser, like, we've seen in a very, very long time. Daniel Jones, huge riser, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's what got him to be that top pick. You know, Van Jefferson, if we're just going recent, right? Van Jefferson, right. You have Dwayne Eskridge. Penny Hart became a name because of the bowl weeks. Not that he was drafted high or anything. Or was he a UDFA, Shane, or was he a seventh?
He was a UDFA, but yeah, he got buzzed from this one-on-ones 2019.
Right. He would have been nothing.
Yeah.
Right. Like without this. So I think it helps everyone. And I think it's not just the on-field stuff, right? Everyone's going to talk about the on-field stuff, but this is the first opportunity that these players in Mobile finally are talking to scouts. Let's be real. It was happening before, but they don't talk about that. But for a lot of these players that aren't the big-name guys, they're finally talking to scouts for the first time, right? And so scouts are trying to figure out their willingness to play on special teams, right? A lot of these guys are going round one, round two, round three. Some of these guys are going to be really, really important special teams players, right? Are they willing to be blockers on special teams? Are they willing to be gunners? Are they a punt returner, right? All of this is happening down in Mobile, and I think it's all really, really important.
Awesome. I love it.
And I'll say quickly, too, that the Senior Bowl has also expanded now the time that NFL teams get to talk to them. So we're actually going to see every NFL team talk to every player. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I think, like Kane said, if you've watched, you've seen like a guy like Cooper Kupp, yeah, super fast at the Senior Bowl, run a 4.6. And if you watched him run at the Senior Bowl, you knew he was not a 4.6 guy. You know, I think you can glean those type of things by watching these practices, watching the film, and seeing what may not match up to the workouts can really help.
Was Fred Warner at the Senior Bowl? I believe Fred Warner. So, you know, guys that were in the Super Bowl now, Aaron Donald, you know, Aaron Donald, I was Zach there, Martin, man.
I was down there for Aaron Donald, and you knew he was a dude. Like, yeah, everyone was talking about, oh, he's too small. And then the Senior Bowl was just that, you know, that clicked on. So,
like, yeah. I think offensive linemen are also really big down there. Like, mm-hmm. if one plays really, really well, like, we've seen it, right? Josh Jones get shot up in the board. Titus Howard. Yeah, Quinn Miners, Titus Howard, like he was a first round pick. He shouldn't have been, but well, it was Houston. But, yeah. So what can you do? Yeah. But that's what we're talking about. Like, there, Daniel Fa'alele is probably going to be a first round pick. I don't think he should be. I've watched him play for 4 years. So like, he shouldn't be, but because you have some really good showings at the Senior Bowl, you're going to get shot up boards. It happens every year.
It's probably also, you know, because of the lack of top tier talent in the quarterback. Usually there's like, what, five quarterbacks taken in the first round. So that helped, you know, that helps push better players down the board. And this year, you know, there's probably going to be two, you know, maybe three quarterbacks in the first round, if that. So that's going to pull some, you know, players that should be going in the second or third round, you know, it's going to pull them up. You know what I mean? So I think it's going to balance itself out. But let's move on to quarterbacks. We discussed Kenny Pickett. We got Malik Willis. We got Sam Howell. We got Carson Strong, Bailey Zapp. You know, how do you think it's going to play out? Which quarterbacks do you think are going to rise to the occasion? Which ones are going to do best in one-on-ones or gamers? They're going to have a really good showing in the game, because, you know, you only get one chance at a first impression. But we also know that the game, you know, how a quarterback plays in the game could completely wipe out, you know, how they do in one-on-one. So how do you guys think, you know, the quarterback situation is going to play out? Who do you think is going to be at the top of the list after Senior Bowl week?
You know, I'll say, I think from top to bottom, this is the best quarterback group the Senior Bowl's had. Like, usually there's one or two guys that are absolute garbage.
Ever.
Quarterback. I think it was like Antonio Pipkins or something.
Who's the kid from Richmond? That
Kyle Uletta. Yeah,
man,
Kyle
Uletta. Right?
Like, yeah, he won the MVP of the game. So, and that makes a good point. The game doesn't matter. Like, you know, the game matters as little as possible. There's a little bit, I think, for the running
Kareem
backs.
Hunt won the MVP linebackers. Of a Senior Bowl.
That's great. So did Kyle Uletta. So let's not worry about it's the practices are what matters. Getting that NFL coaching, seeing them one-on-one. You know, there's no scheme limitations. You can see these things happen. I think quarterback-wise, you know, Malik Willis, day one, had, you know, from all reports, had, like, some great, great, great throws and some really awful, awful throws. Basically his career in a nutshell, you know, happening. I think if with some NFL coaching this week, if he improves on that, I think he'll blow up. And then I think Sam Howell's going to do well. I think he's going to have a solid week, may not be spectacular, but be very consistent, show off that arm strength that I think people are underrating. I think those two guys are going to have.
He came in above 6 foot, correct?
Yep, 6 foot and a quarter.
I think that's good. I think that's huge for him. What do you think, Kane?
Are we talking Malik Willis? Sorry.
Quarterbacks in general.
Well, I'll talk about Carson Strong because I'm watching clips of him right now. They just popped across my screen. You know, I think you have a guy like Carson Strong who's going to look really, really good throwing the football. Right? He's not going to look good when you have to add in rolling out, when you have to add in kind of mobility, right? People are going to show some clips of Carson Strong stepping up in the pocket and then completely missing on the throw, which is a Carson Strong textbook, right? If he has to move at all, the throw's inaccurate, right? So the one-on-one practices are perfect for a guy like Carson Strong, mm-hmm. who has an incredible arm. Right. And guess what? Who's going to win the one-on-one? It's always going to be the wide receiver.
Oh, yeah.
Always. Right. And so when we see these cornerbacks just getting burned, it's not that they're terrible, but they have to block 30 different routes. Right. And it's not a timed thing. It's not like the wide receiver has one move. Right. They can do four moves. They can go in and out. They can do whatever they want to get past
this
corner.
And they have all day.
The cornerback's meant to lose.
Yeah.
Right. And the important thing for the cornerback is just to get close, right? That's kind of the main thing. So a guy like Carson Strong, you're going to see a lot of great throws, a lot of them. But that doesn't mean that that's it, right? That doesn't mean that he's going to be the quarterback one, because he's not really he's a pro style offense, and the NFL doesn't really run pro style offenses anymore.
Right.
Big Ben and Tom Brady just retired. So there goes kind of the last of the pro style systems.
Well, maybe Pittsburgh is looking for Carson Strong. What do you think, Shane?
I hope not. Mike Tomlin talked to Malik Willis.
They just had him
today. What's that?
Had Carson Strong.
The past 3 years, you know, we got some experience there. Mike Tomlin talked to Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett after practice today. So that was a little bit of his focus. there. Desmond Ridder is probably one that's going to struggle. Bad day one for him. Doesn't know how to take snaps from under center. And the Senior Bowl only has one actual center playing in the game, like at practices. A lot of guys converting to center. So, you know, Ridder, not super accurate and has to adjust to that pro style. Kane talked about taking snaps under center. It's going to be a little rough.
That's Nate's guy. Desmond Ridder. Right, Nate?
No, dude, he stinks. It's cool. I just love Cincinnati. It's fine. I did this last year. I liked him.
Listen, you got to speak up for your boy, man. What if he hits? What if he hits? What if it pans out? He's a great pro. And we come back to this and you had an opportunity to stand on the table for him and you said he stinks.
Yeah, well, I stood on the table for the Bearcats and that made me look like a dipshit. So
fair point. All right, guys. So now let's talk about general, you know, all positions. Well, we could keep it on offensive skill positions, quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. Shane, if you want to throw some defensive names out there, that is fair. But which players in mostly the skill position format on the offensive side of the ball have the most to gain this week? I know we mentioned some quarterbacks already. If you want to go, you know, running back, wide receiver, tight end, who are you thinking?
Can I just take the low hanging fruit? And yes, I'm going to say the guy that's not there, which is Matt Corral. Right. Okay. Like the fact that he's not there and these quarterbacks aren't doing incredibly well time is actually really good for Matt Corral.
You ever see the Family Guy episode where Peter, he has like, I don't know if it's like he won a prize and the prize is like, you know, I wish I could quote this more so, but it's like, I don't know. I think it's a lot of money. But then the guy's like, you could take this lot of money or you could take this box. Or no, it's a boat. He was the boat. Yeah, yeah. He's got the boat, but then he's like, or you could take this box. And inside this box, it could be a boat. And he's like, well, I could take this, but in the box, it could be a, I don't know. I guess you'd have to watch the episode and think it's funny. But that's what you made me think of when you compared Corral to not being there, because he's the unknown. If everybody there is kind of stinking, then it's like, well, this could be better.
Look, I'm going to go with my man. I know Kane and I both are kind of hopping on here, and that's Christian Watson, the receiver from North Dakota State. Came in rocked up, 6'4", one of the few people, any of the players, all positions at the Senior Bowl, that came in over what he's listed at height-wise, which is usually never happens. 6'4", 211, probably runs 4.4 speed, and he lit up day one. I mean, getting open consistently, nine routes, ins. You know, he was doing a little bit of everything. So he's definitely a guy I think people are going to start talking about. I wrote an article about a month and a half ago comparing, I think, his career trajectory, not as a player, but trajectory of his career will be like Cooper Kupp. I think he's going to come in and end up being a number one for a team and end up being a superstar. So I'm planting the flag, Christian Watson.
Man, that is so we're going to get to that, but I mean, that's our, you know, planting your flag on Christian. I better go watch him because you, like Kane had mentioned earlier, you're pretty precise with your predictions there. So that's a guy I'm going to have to put on my dynasty radar. Do you have any other players? What about Romeo Dobbs, Carson Strong's wide receiver? I've been hearing a lot about him, you know, so far. It seems like he's doing decent. How do you feel about him?
He's fine.
Yeah. It's nice when you get to practice with a quarterback that you've run nine routes with for years. And I think that helped today. like they've run this route in practice every week for years. Like, yeah, you know, you're going to hit Romeo Dobbs deep. So, I think Dobbs is, you know, day two potential. But
what's the kid from Boise State? I can't think of his name right
Khalil
now.
Khalil Shakir. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about Khalil Shakir.
He's also fine.
Just fine.
I didn't hear much today, but he has good speed, and I think, like Kane mentioned earlier, the receivers are going to win in these one-on-ones. I think Shakir is going to be that kind of player, so I'm interested to see if he can emerge from this group ultimately. You know, I was kind of surprised. I think one guy we were both low on, Alec Pierce from Cincinnati, he came out and had a really, really good practice today. Was one of the fastest players on the field from the GPS miles per hour. So that was surprising to me. I didn't expect to see that happen.
All right, so let's move on to players that have the most to lose this week. So who are you looking at in that category?
Like all of them.
everyone.
So I'm gonna take this like a little differently. I'm gonna take this as like who will make fantasy players lose their mind over the most and be unsuccessful.
Mm, okay, that's I like my, that. That's I like how that my brain angle. Is
going. Yeah,
that's
go. Good.
Go ahead.
And that's Tyler Batty. Right, like this is setting up to be like everyone's gonna say that Tyler Batty has day two upside because he's fast. Right, like you should win these.
He's not fine.
Like he is actually fine, but like he's like a fourth or fifth round pick. Like he's not going to be this day two guy that everyone thinks. He's 5'7", like 197 pounds. Like let's not expect that he's going to be this super super great player. That's going to be this three down running back coming into the NFL and be ultra successful. Like it's not going to happen. Like yeah, he's catching passes against linebackers and winning good right. Like that should happen right. The linebacker doesn't know which way you're going.
Good point.
You should catch the pass. Like that's all I can tell you. Like he's just gonna set people up for failure and it's really gonna hurt a lot of fantasy managers.
Okay, so we have to avoid him. All right, Shane, what are you thinking?
I'll go with Kane's context. I think Brian Robinson, the running back from Alabama, is going to be maybe on the opposite end, I guess, of you know Tyler Batty under 5'8", Brian Robinson almost 6'2". But I think Robinson, he's just bigger than all the other running backs. And so I think you're going to get a lot of talk like, you know, this guy's built and he's huge and he looks the part. And like, that's great. How many running backs have looked the part? He's not very fast. I think he's going to struggle with some of the, you know, agility stuff, which at a practice, you don't get to see. You're not taking hits. You're not going to get slow down and get hit through the line. So I really think that Brian Robinson could have, I think it could go either way. I think it could be people are like, oh, look, you know, he's so much better. Or maybe he has a good game because, you know, he's big. But I think he's going to be a little bit of a disappointment in the NFL, especially compared to like, I like, you know, we like Damian Pierce from Florida, Rashad White from Arizona State, guys, you know, Jerome Ford from Cincinnati, guys that might get passed up in this game, but still are probably going to get drafted higher, to be honest.
Like betting on some of these players is it's basically like paying all your bills and your credit score still going down. You know, like betting on people that you know probably have no shot of being a day two guy and like hitching your wagon to it. And they're like, this is my guy. This is who I believe is going to have that day two upside. Like, stop it. You maybe have like 5 or 6 running backs that are going to get day two capital in total, right? Max of 7. And we have 3 or 4 or 5 pretty locked down on who they're going to be, right?
Most of them are underclassmen. So,
yeah.
Right. And the people that are not here, because guess who doesn't usually do well is people that stayed in college longer. To be a running back.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, what about the tight end class? You know, I know Isaiah Likely, he's a guy I like a lot. I think Ruckert is there. So how is the tight end? How do you see that panning out? You see any risers, fallers, or who's your favorite in this year's Senior Bowl class?
I think the tight end position is tough because it is a strong, deep group, you know, and a lot of them are seniors, 4 or 5 year seniors outside of Jalen Weidermeyer from Texas A&M. So most of these guys are down there, I think, outside of Kate Otten from Washington, who got hurt late in the season. Like this, the rest of the group. I think Trey McBride is of Colorado State is probably the top guy. He came in a little smaller than expected, 6'3", 1/8". I think he could have an okay week, but had some struggles, especially blocking day one. I like Isaiah Likely. You mentioned him from Coastal Carolina. I think he'll be pretty good. And I also like Cole Turner from Nevada, and especially in terms of like fantasy, if you want a guy that's pretty much just a receiver, just playing tight end at 6'6", 246. I mean, that's what Colt Turner is. And that usually works out at the Senior Bowl, especially later in the week when these tight ends start catching passes.
Like, Kane, you got a guy? Sorry, go ahead.
Like, no, I don't care about tight ends. Realistically, like if you're not going in the first round, the chances that I place a bet on you are very, very low, right? Unless we're dealing like in tight end premium and third round picks, right? I think overall, like these tight ends are going to be like they're going to be solid as some receiving weapons. That's if we just, and we think they're going to be solid just overall players, right? That's we close our eyes to anytime they block, especially at the Senior Bowl, because all these guys are terrible blockers.
Most of them are terrible blockers.
All of them are terrible blockers. some are just serviceable that can kind of make it seem like they're okay. But every single one of these tight ends are going to get blown over by a D end or a linebacker in these practices. And you're going to see it over and over and over again. And then they're never going to show any of those clips of tight ends ever again.
Dalton Schultz is a terrible blocker. And I don't want another one of those in Dallas. He can catch the football. Hey, we got wide receivers.
Why are you always hating on Dutch like that? He's a good dude. He's awesome.
Listen, we don't need a tight end who can catch 7 balls a game. We have wide receivers to do that. We need a tight end who can block and then occasionally catch the football. But hopefully we find one. Or we just move on to Jarwin and Dalton Schultz goes get paid elsewhere. Shane, you got any linebackers that we should keep an eye on?
I think it's actually a solid linebacker group. Depends what you're looking for. If you're looking for that inside linebacker, especially for IDP, you know, tackle heavy guys, Chad Muma from Wyoming reminds me a lot of Logan Wilson, who we talked about earlier, former teammates at the Cowboys. Muma not as good in coverage, but Muma is, you know, 6'2", 241, really good tackler. He's just a great instinct guy. So I think he's super intriguing and has, you know, high, you know, probably round two kind of upside. Jojo Doman from Nebraska is playing a little safety, playing a little linebacker. I think he could go in the top 70 picks. And then one kind of more sleeper, Darren Beavers from Cincinnati is my favorite. He's huge. He's just massive. He's great. But one kind of sleeper guy, Troy Anderson from Montana State, played quarterback, running back, fullback, and linebacker at Montana State.
Versatility
over the course of his career, several linebackers will play in the NFL. And I mean, he's just a smart dude. You know, probably day three guy, but he's one of my personal favorites that probably won't do anything, but I like him.
All right. Any safeties we need to keep an eye on or what?
You know, there's a couple. It's not a great safety group in general. I don't love it. Jalen Petrie from Baylor.
Right? He's a thumper. He's not a cover guy.
Right. I mean, he just hits you really, really hard and wants to just punish
you.
Fun. So it's if you cool. want that guy, you got him. Kirby Joseph from Illinois is a little bit underrated. 6'2", 200. He was that whole like defense in the back end, but has good tackle technique. And they're bringing in my number 5 safety in the class, Veron McKinley from Oregon, who's a playmaker, smaller, free safety, cover guy. So I'm excited.
I didn't know he was a senior.
He is a junior, and he graduated, I guess, on time. So they got the clearance, and he's coming.
Did Marquise Bell get an invite?
He did not.
Disappointing. Disappointing. All right, and I crossed a name that I did not mention earlier in the wide receivers that I wanted to bring up, and that is a guy you discussed earlier on your Twitter, Jalen Tolbert, South Alabama. I know some people who really like this cat. I watched this film. Kane likes him,
that's
so I
me.
Guess he's fine. You know, I watch this film, like I've seen him do things, but I'm really interested to see how he does this week. And like, you know, was mentioned earlier, these drills are geared towards the wide receivers and the wide receivers succeeding. But I do want to see him go against some good talent at the defensive back position. But Kane, why don't you sell us on Jalen Tolbert since he's your guy?
So I like Jalen Tolbert a lot. I think the biggest issue that we're going to run into is we thought he was really good when he was 6'3", doing the things he was doing at 6'3". Now he's coming in at like 6'1.5", something like that, Shane.
He's rocked up though, right?
Yeah.
He's pretty yoked up.
Well, he was listed over 200 pounds and he clocked in at 195.
Yeah, 6'1 and a quarter.
Yeah. So, you know, not super great. I think the biggest thing that you're going to run into, though, is we're looking at like a 4.5 guy. And 4.5 at 6.3 is really good. 4.5 at 6.1 and a quarter is not good, right? When you rely on speed to play, right? So a lot of the routes that he was running at South Alabama were a lot of speed sort of plays, right? Where he was stretching the field, trying to get up the field as quickly as possible and then kind of making that cut. So a lot of those curl routes, a lot of those, you know, speed in-breaking routes, speed outs and go routes, things like that. That was his specialty at South Alabama. And the fact that he's not as big as we thought he was, that kind of is going to hinder him in this process. But like, he's going to win these one-on-ones just because he's going to be faster than most of these corners. We don't have like 4.4 corners there. So
yeah, he had one rep today where he blew past Georgia corner Darian Kendrick, former receiver for Clemson, playing corner, and you know, blew past him. Like Keen said, I think it lines up well for Tolbert more than I kind of expected going in. But yeah, I thought he could be a top 50 pick. I think I'm backing off of that because of the size, you know, but I think later day two probably.
All right, later day two. All right, now is your chance. I know you already planted your flag on a player, but I'm going to give you an opportunity to plant some more flags. I'm handing out flags. You have multiple flags now. You could plant one. You could plant two. Whatever your heart desires. Plant your flags on some Senior Bowl players.
You know, I'll go with. I don't know. Maybe this is an easier one, but I'll go with Rashad White, the running back for Arizona State. Are you going to take him? See,
yeah.
We could plant our flag together. We could share.
That's not. I like you guys doing that on our show. I really do enjoy both of you planting flags on the same player. I think that's nice.
Look, we're friends here, but you know, he's probably
that's the only day two running back there.
Yeah, I mean,
well, tell us about him. Tell us about this cat.
Look, he's a JUCO transfer. 2 years ago to Arizona State, one of the best pass catchers, I think, at running back in this draft, and doing some return work. You know, he does everything. So I think he can catch it out of the backfield, 210 pounds. He actually came in a little, he was listed at 6'2", came in 6'5", which is good to me, running back. You know, 6 foot's plenty tall. So I think he has the athleticism, has the pass catching. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. What do you think, Kane? I mean, am I crazy? Like, you think he's gonna go day two?
Yeah, like he's really fast. Like he's really fast. He can also return. So you know, if you need him in the punt return game, in the kick return game, he was doing that at practices, if I'm not mistaken. Like he can catch the ball really well. He's gonna be exciting to NFL teams. Like there's a lot of solid role players in this draft of the running back position. There's not a lot of guys that are truly exciting in every phase of the game. And that's what Rashad White is. So he's the only day two running back I see at the Senior Bowl right now.
All right. You guys got a wide receiver. You guys want to plant your flag on a quarterback? Who are we doing with those?
Like I'll take Braylon Sanders, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. I think he's really good for the Senior Bowl. Like, so he's probably going to play himself into like round four, round five. But he wasn't an invite to the Senior Bowl initially. He was at, what is it? The
NFLPA.
NFLPA parade game or whatever you want to call it. Like the really not good players. He just completely destroyed everyone. And then he's going to come to this, and he's got decent size too, which I think is kind of interesting. He's 6 foot 190 ish. I don't know what the official measurements were. I think it was like just under 6 feet. It was like 5'11".
Yeah, 5'11", like, 5'8", 188.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was pretty close on those guesses. Like he's just a good player. And I think he's going to be a role player, kind of that third wide receiver on a team that we're like, you know, he's going to catch some touchdowns. We're like, oh, who is that guy? And it's like, then we add him to a bunch of teams in shallow leagues. But if you're playing in leagues like we are, right, super deep leagues, 30, 40 man rosters, they're like, he's going to have some times where he comes in and he's the wide receiver two for their team.
like a Marquez Valdez-Scantling or like a Tim Patrick?
Yeah, like I think I project him as kind of more of a Y receiver.
Okay. Oh, because size, yep.
Yeah, so I don't think he's going to play just slot, but I think he's going to do a lot of interesting things at the NFL, and I think a lot of people can use that talent in that second or third wide receiver that can just be solid, almost like that James Jones-esque type player.
Ooh. Nate likes that.
I do.
Oh, I'll play another flag. Let's play another quarterback we did not talk about, and that's Bailey Zappe, quarterback from Western Kentucky. Like, I think Bailey Zappe could go in round three. That's probably
what a name.
I mean, yeah. Look, Zappe. He was a transfer from Houston Baptist. Followed his offensive coordinator to Western Kentucky and broke the single season record for passing touchdowns and passing yardage. So you know, not a strong arm. He's got that kind of Gardner Minshew type arm where he's not going to throw it down the field. He'll underthrow you. But, I mean, very accurate, very smart, such a good reader of the defense. And he started – they really gave him some kind of pro-style reads, even at Western Kentucky, even in a system that's built around short passes. You know, he was actually getting to do a little bit of progressions later in the season. So I think there's some potential there. And I think if these quarterbacks get pushed up the board, if teams are desperate, you know, Bailey Zappe could be one of those guys that gets drafted earlier than I probably would take him. And I think he could be that guy, that Ryan Fitzpatrick, that, you know, journeyman starts a bunch of places and has some good games. And you're like, someone's got to be better than him, but no one's actually better than him. You know, that kind of deal.
I like it. All right, so I think we got a lot of Senior Bowl stuff covered. I know you guys had mentioned earlier Hall of Famer Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
We're making that happen here at Toast the Titles. You guys had mentioned some hot takes. Can we hear some of these hot takes before we wrap this thing up? You got anything juicy enough to put out in the air?
Yeah, how hot you want it?
Ooh, baby.
How spicy. I like that. Kane will bring
we need to make
spice.
That a drop. How hot you want it? I like. Yeah, bring it. Bring it.
More quarterbacks go on day two than they do on day one.
I like that. That's hot, especially given the history. The teams have been more than willing to reach for quarterbacks lately. So I like that. Shane, what do you got for me?
I don't even remember what I said on our show that we were recording yesterday. I'm like, wait, what did I actually?
You said Malik Willis is a top five pick.
I did. That he's by the end of this week, he's gonna go top five of the NFL draft. Yeah, that was a hot take. You kind of pushed me. You started me spicier.
Yeah, you said he's gonna be a top 10 pick.
I thought top 10 is pretty spicy.
That's nice.
All right, top five
is very spicy.
Top five.
Now, Shane, now call it. Who is taking him top five? Now, I want you to go spicier. Kane pushed you, and now I'm pushing you. Who's taking him top five?
I'm going to say that the Washington Commanders trade up and take Malik Willis in the top five. He is the commander of the Commanders.
Woo-wee! You heard it here. Toilets to Titles. Shane's predicting Malik Willis gets taken top five by the Washington Commanders who come up and select him there, man. Those are some excellent hot takes. Any Evan McPherson's in this
draft? Hell no. I love him.
Dicker the kicker?
But probably not quite an Evan McPherson. The best kicker is Cade York from LSU. Definitely deserves to be drafted around that area. I think he has a similar profile to Evan McPherson coming out. But this is a punter draft. So if you are into punters, this might be the best punter draft I've ever seen.
I love it.
Matt Ariza from San Diego State, probably the best punter that I have scouted.
Nate's the most fired up he's been all episode.
Jake Camarda from Georgia getting drafted probably fifth, sixth round. He punted a 75-yarder today. Jordan Stout from Penn State, he's probably getting drafted fifth or sixth round. We're talking three punters in the top five rounds.
Hell yeah.
Three punters in the top five round. Justin wants to know, is there really a kicker named Dicker? Yes, there is.
Yeah.
They're at Texas, right? Boy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's my number two kicker in the class. So.
All right. Awesome. Oh, Cliff Ritter is here, and he said, punt God. So thanks, Cliff, for joining us. All right, I think we're going to wrap this thing up. This has been a lot of fun. Justin says he needs that Dicker the Kicker jersey in his life. Do you guys have anything you're working on? I know we already touched on your Discord. You know, we touched on the Devy Marketplace, Draft Countdown. Is there anything specific you'd like to tell the listeners about, try to get some eyes and ears over there?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah. If you want to go to draftcountdown.com, we have the weigh-in results for the Senior Bowl. So we are throwing out, you know, heights, weights. You can see all those things in a nice little sortable chart, or if you're on mobile, you can click PDF.
Sortable
and
chart.
Get it. Yeah. Yeah. You can click hand size and see which running back has the biggest hands. That's what you get to do, over there. And then, my partner, Brian Bassage, lives in Mobile, Alabama. He was there today. He has his reports going up. That's the main thing. Subscribe to the Devy Marketplace, because you can hear Kane talk about all those receivers that are fine all the time.
All the receivers that are fine all the time. I love it. Well, we appreciate both of you joining the show. It was a lot of fun. I know it was a few weeks in the works here. You know, I reached out to you guys a few weeks ago. I'm glad we were able to schedule this thing. This is a big week. Again, we need this optimism in our lives. The NFL draft season is the season of optimism, especially for me. The way the Cowboys season ended, I need some optimism, because my head was – I buried it under a pillow for like 48 hours. And I finally brought it out. I was like, all right. There's hope. You know, maybe we make a good selection and it changes our future, because it's not looking too bright right now. But gentlemen, thank you for coming on. Nate, Justin, thanks for joining me again this evening. We will catch you all later on. Make sure you tune in live Saturday, 8 p.m. Toilets to Titles is doing Dungeons and Dragons. It is going to be a lot of fun. All right. Enjoy your week. Take care.